Welcome to the Impactful Engineer Project. I'm Steve Maxey, and with my co-host and brother Jake, we are here to bring you guidance, fresh ideas, and the tools to help you become an impactful engineer. Today on The Impactful Engineer, I'm here with my brother Jake for an authentic conversation around engineering and personal development. Our goal is to create an environment for career excellence targeted toward engineering professionals. We believe that being open about what we've learned in our own careers will benefit others in their unique journey of engineering. Ultimately, we want people to have fulfilled careers and be inspired to become the best versions of themselves.
This podcast has a few episode types, the first one being our standard episode format, where Steve and I present a topic. We introduce the why and the how around the topic, we give some tips to get the conversation going and inspire some action. So usually this is going to be based on something that you can deploy in your daily career, and it's often a mindset shift that we invite you to consider moving forward. Because we know and have experienced the power behind embracing changes in your mindset.
And occasionally we have quick solo episodes that are really short and down to the point, like 10 minutes or even much less. The recent one was three, where one of us has an idea. We want to just get it out there, share with the group. And it's typically a mindset, a strategy, or just some quick tactics around making yourself and others around you increase their potential in their career.
And about once a month, we'll bring on a guest who has a particular expertise that we believe will be beneficial to share with the impactful engineering community. That's it. We get them on the horn. We talk. We discuss what we think is important and what we think is important to convey to you all that you can use in your career and in your life. So look forward to some gold nuggets from those.
So, Jake, how are you today?
How am I today?
Yes, how are you today?
I'm doing good, man. I'm. It's usually the end of the week when we do these things.
Yes.
So I don't really know what the end of the week means anymore, but kind of tired.
Yeah.
But before the show, you know, just blast some Metallica, maybe do a quick workout, run down the street screaming something.
Yeah.
And I'll come back and I'm pretty ready to go. Pretty pumped.
Yeah. Yeah, I jumped on the drums a little bit, a little guitar, you know, got the blood moving as well. So,
dude, I wish we could do that together.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we got like half an hour till we record and just go, just jam, dude. Just get riled up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be fun.
I know. I mean, we're doing the podcast. Maybe we can figure out how to do some recording stuff that way.
Oh, I'm sure we could. Yeah. Nothing like just jumping on it, together in the same room and just blasting.
Oh, yeah.
Like when we were kids.
I know. The idiots.
Yeah.
All right.
The garage band. Yeah. Oh my gosh. All right, fine. we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. So today, a topic that I think is on the minds of every single engineer at some point in their career. And that is, what career path do I want to go on? And within engineering. And even within a single industry of engineering, and that is typically going to be broken up in two general paths, right? That's the subject matter expert, which is the SME for short, versus an engineering leader, you know, whether you go into management and work your way up that way. Different skill sets, different fulfillment, right? That's some of the things we'll talk about. And we can start out like, when is a good time to choose? Because I know before the show, we kind of brought that up together. And that's a good question, because I think a lot of people think that they need to figure that out right away.
Mm. When to choose?
Yes.
Like strictly between leadership or subject matter expert. We want to just divide it like that?
Yeah. Well, let's keep it simple.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, you know, for me personally, I would say the 0 to 5 year person, or like even like the 6, 7, 8, it's like you still should be stacking insane skills directly related to the engineering product that you produce, whatever that is. You know, you should be getting really, really good at that. I know I just said should, and I freaking hate that word.
Must.
must or recommend that skills be built and stacked, right, to get better at your craft. So I would say early on, I wouldn't even be thinking about, say you just graduated school and you hop into a job. Like, I wouldn't even be thinking about, oh, I'm going to be the greatest, like, leader, right? And that's what I want to do. Because from my experience, you have to know the technical stuff as well. You have to at least know the industry. Who are the major players in the industry and what do they care about and who can do the things and serve those people and make money at the same time? I mean, like, at the baseline, that's what you need to know. You can be a lot better at that when you've worked your way up, right? Of course. So for me, my recommendation, and there's always exceptions, guys, so know that. Just for me, my recommendation would be to go hard on stacking skills, regardless of where you see your trajectory at first. That's what I would say. So I'm in the SME early on, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So maybe start out as an SME, no matter what, and then decide at some further point in your career if you want to branch out into leadership.
Yeah. And I mean, leadership skills are always going to be a plus, but don't try not to solely focus on that right out of the gate. A good mix is going to be where I would say you'd want to be. But, you know, learning the soft skills and how to get along with people and really figuring out people, because that's who you're going to run into, obviously, is going to help you a lot.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Also, to stack onto that a little bit, typically, I would say most of the time, engineers go into school because they want to be very technically gifted in some area, right? Whether it's computer engineering or mechanical engineering, electrical, et cetera. So they're already going into school wanting to be an SME, wanting to be very gifted in that specific technology. Very rarely they're going to be graduating high school, be like, you know what? I want to be an engineering manager. I want to go into leadership as an engineer. Typically people who want to go into leadership will start out going to business school or something of that along those lines. Not always. I mean, some people, yeah, maybe they come from an engineering family, right? And so they know they have to go through engineering, you know, to follow the family way, but they want to be a leader. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be an exception to the rule. But I think in general, most engineers will go in because they want to be an expert at something. But I think your story might be a little different on that.
Sure.
Yeah. But let's start with a story.
Well, okay. I mean, I got into engineering just kind of on a whim. You know, it was something that my best friend was doing. And I still wanted to hang out, you know, after school. I'm like, hey, where are you going? what are you doing? He was obviously, his choice was different. He was on a path. I was on no path. And I thought, hey, I'll go to engineering school with him and do the same thing. So that's kind of like how I did it. I was like, all right, let's do it. You know, had the smarts and the math and the science and all that stuff, but I could get through school for sure. But that's how I chose engineering. So I wasn't like in my off time, I wasn't building shit and like putting together circuits and like being all intense about wiring things and like, oh, how does this work? And let's go program this thing. And I was out playing sports and working out and, you know, hitting the party scene up and like working a lot. I worked a lot. Yep. I loved working. None of it had to do with electrical. So when I started my first engineering job, I was wholly unprepared, but came up to speed super quick. And I would say it was more out of necessity. I've been learning lately that I chose my career and then became good as an engineer out of necessity, because it was the way that I was going to make money and feed my family, right? It was the way that I was going to continue my life track forward, support my family, and then get a nice house and then be able to pay for the car and the insurance and the health insurance and all this other shit that we got to pay for, and then have some money left over. I was like, all right, cool. Engineers can do that. Great. Let's do that. And then I just got really good at it because I'm like, I don't like to suck at things. And if I'm going to do something for 8 to 10 hours a day, 5 days a week, sometimes six. That's a lot of my life. And I don't want to be doing something that I'm terrible at.
Yep.
So I learned how to be a great electrical engineer in the construction industry, in the consulting world. Great. So I'm really good at it. I am. I feel great about my skills in that area. Is it my, you know, lifelong, was it my lifelong dream? No, but I'm a good engineer. But what I have found within the realm of engineering is this whole aspect where, hey, if teams are going to work together and these fluid organizations are going to be successful and make money and be happy, you've got to be able to lead people and follow and know how to work in a team and be good at it, right? And really know people and how to support them and how to get the things you need done while everyone is learning, growing, and is meeting their goals at the same time and is happy within themselves as well. Now, happiness is like an intrinsic thing. It's you can't force someone else to be happy, but as you lead, you can set them up for happiness if they choose so, right? You can help them on that path. You can't force them to do that, but so I'm definitely in the leadership path right now, for sure. Not subject matter expert. I'm pretty damn good at roping people together and getting a pretty complex electrical project out for a client that's doing some pretty cool shit. But I'm not going to sit there and go deep on some theory and figure out the next big thing. Like, hey, how are we going to bring to market and beat everybody else in the fusion race? I have no fucking clue. You tell me what piece of equipment you need where, and I'll tell you how to do it safely.
Yep.
I'll hook it up for you. So no, SME, not me. I am a leader through and through.
And about how long did it take you to understand that you wanted to be more down the leadership path than just the standard engineer SME route?
The SME route. Yeah. It was actually pretty quick. It was actually pretty quick. I saw the merit and the value and the impact that one person can have as an individual if they really build their leadership skills. So that's why I'm so pulled towards it, to being a leader. So within like 2 years, probably, I was like, oh yeah, leadership's where it's at.
Yeah.
For me now, the skills came at the same time and maybe even a little later too, when I started to realize that, hey, if I'm going to survive in the engineering world, I can't just be a great leader, or else we would just be hiring great leaders and pointing and saying, do this, do that. You know, there wasn't an immediate growth path for that. There wasn't a future. Every single role that I was going to step into or interviewed for, or just name it, they didn't give a shit if you were a good leader or not. They wanted you to know how to produce and do engineering work.
Yeah.
And to this day, it's still the same tune.
Yeah.
Right.
And that leads back to your point of stacking the skill sets before you make that jump, right? Is because that's pretty much going to be a requirement for leaders in engineering.
Yep. And it was a decision that was made on purpose because I didn't see a path forward without doing it. So there's the necessity thing again.
Yep.
Right. But as you get further and further into an organization and up, then that leadership, it starts to flop, right? And that leadership ability starts to really matter. So that's kind of where I'm at right now, where it's like, I'm kind of getting close to being over that hump to where that distinction is really going to start being made between SME and leadership.
Yeah. 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 So with that, I kind of want to get into, how does someone decide or choose, you know, one or the other? And you already touched on it a little bit, but it's from my perspective, it's really, if you want to have an impact on people, or do you want to have an impact on the work, like projects, the products that you design, etc. So like, what really gives you that fulfillment? You know, are you the type of person that you want to go into a retail outlet and see your product on the shelf? You can go buy it and be like, hey, I designed this, or have your name on a patent, or, you know, there's a bridge in the city and you're like, yeah, I was part of the team that made that, you know, like, is that what your fulfillment's going to be? Or are you going to get a lot more fulfillment out of helping others fulfill those dreams, helping others be a cohesive unit to move projects along, watching people grow and develop? You know, that's something that I've found that is incredibly fulfilling, like seeing the light bulb go off in their eyes, like when they figure out how to do something more effectively, mm-hmm. and they just get excited and really into it. So like what is your opinion on that? Is that pretty much where you're at?
That's why we do this show.
Of course.
Because we want to have an impact and we want to help people, right? Yeah, where I'm at on that is when I see the product that has been built because of the team's work. See, I just said it right there. Because of the team's work, mm-hmm. that's cool. When I look at it and I think my role in that is like, oh, wow, now there's this great building or this great lab or this great process that's happening or this. I think for me, it's the safety. So I could say we can be proud of that because that's something that's going to be safe. And that's not going to be one of those things that ends up on the news where there was a miss in the design or some sort of safety aspect was the corner was cut. That's good at a real kind of level where it hits like the heartstrings a little bit. It's like, that's going to be safe. But for the most part, it's I helped the team get that done, or I helped, like I see a project and I go, man, I remember Giorgio really struggling on that, and I helped him, and he learned so much from that project, and man, he grew a lot during that project. Like that's what I see out of the project.
Yeah.
Or like, man, that presented this huge challenge, and it was really wigging out one of the engineers, and I helped him get through that. And now they have that skill and that framework and that mindset to look at it differently next time and just plow through without the effects that it had on them before. That's what I see. So it's definitely on the leadership side. I get the good feels from helping people. Like you said, when that light goes off and they go, oh my gosh. Right. I go, yes.
Yeah.
If that can happen once a day, I'm pretty happy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Right? So that's a good, like quick self-assessment to see where you are, like if you are unsure, for anyone listening. I think another question to ask is what sort of, you know, the popular term is work-life balance, right? Most of the time, not always, but most of the time, subject matter experts will be a little bit more on the, I can put in my work and at the end of the day, I can go home and I'm okay. And from my experience, when you're a leader, you at the end of the day, you still have additional work. You'll have to, prepare some reports. You'll have to do a lot of extra things on top of, you know, your standard day-to-day stuff. And so you do have to put in a little more time into your work than you will as an individual contributor.
I guess I would agree with that in whole, like in big picture, like, cause I do spend a lot of time outside of normal working hours. Like, for instance, like yesterday I was filling out, a matrix of the skills versus the gaps in one of my direct reports. And I was really digging in and figuring out what's the next best thing that he can learn, you know, and then I'd go back to my one-on-one and look at my notes and go, okay, this is a repeating thing. So we're going to get that on the goal list. And then I go back and look at the goals that we made for last year. Like I am spending hours outside of the fact to purposely put things in place to make these people better humans, for sure. Yes. Better engineers too, until I can no longer do that. And when they pass me up, I go, all right, later.
Yep.
You know, and that's, yeah. So there is extra time put in on those things. I would imagine that some subject matter experts though, like if they're in a position where this thing is really, I mean, there's some high stakes there, right? You're the person that knows how to do the one thing.
Oh, yeah.
That the project really needs.
Yeah.
So you might be burning some of the midnight oil doing that
too. Absolutely. Yeah. It's, I think there's just more to consider outside of the realm of just your standard work is kind of my point.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen it. I've seen it from multiple people that they want to do, you know, they want to do HVAC design only.
Yeah.
Come to work on it, go home 8 hours a day, less if they can get away with it.
Yep.
I've seen that, you know, I've seen and insert whatever the task is, really just want to get good at one thing and then just churn it out. And then they want to live their life outside of that. So Steve,
mm-hmm.
on the subject of leadership versus SME. How did you think about it, or why did you get into engineering? And did you make a shift at some point? Did you choose one and you were staunchly, I'm this and I'm going to be the best at this? And then it's shifted. You know, how did you see this through your career?
Absolutely. So I got into engineering because I loved cars and racing and all that good stuff. And so I wanted to be involved with that technical aspect of it. When I first got into engineering, I was really into engines and turbochargers and, you know, that kind of stuff. And as when I got out of school, I got into aerospace and I just really loved what I did there in the composites and designing for composites, and had a blast and was becoming a subject matter expert and enjoyed it quite a bit. And then I got into automotive industry, and I was first at some tier one suppliers, just doing some management stuff. And I didn't like it then. And that was a good reality check at the time in that point in my career. Right. And so I went to a different company in the automotive industry doing suspension, which was something different in automotive than I originally wanted, but I was there. I was doing the cool technical stuff. I was designing suspension and going to racetracks and just having a blast. And then the next job I went to, I was, again, becoming the expert in the technical side. But then something happened there, and I realized that there's a lot of other people who are incredibly more gifted than I was, but also there's a lot of other people who struggled, and I had an ability to get them up to like a great efficiency level. And that kind of sparked my interest in you know, coaching. And so I started mentoring younger engineers. And I had a lot of fun doing that. And then the opportunity at that company arose where, and this happens a lot, where a management position opens and they just take the most senior engineer and make them the manager. And the gentleman who that happened to hated it. He was a subject matter expert through and through and despised management. But he was in it because he was the most experienced guy. And about a year went by, and he told upper leadership, I was like, look, I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to design stuff. So pick someone else. And I was the next in line as far as expertise. And I raised my hand. I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot because I've been enjoying this other stuff that is working on the mentorship side. And then that's when I fell in love with it. And then ever since then, that's all I've wanted to do is the leadership side.
Right. And I've seen that happen. People are promoted because they're the senior, but then they're like, oh, this is not for me.
Yeah.
You know, when I got that opportunity pretty early on, it was definitely for me, you know, and then I had to catch the skills up.
Yep.
So, that's probably why I keep saying stack the skills now, because I don't want you to have to play catch up, with the skills.
Yeah. And I think something that's important to understand is in engineering, engineering leadership is not just about making the team work, but you're also going to be a resource that the new engineers are going to reach out to understand the hard problems. And you need to be able to address those. And so you have to have at least a strong skill set. Be like, hey, you know, I've done this, or I've seen that before. And if you don't have the answer, then you can point them in the right direction and you can carry the conversation. And the other aspect of that, and I always laugh on this one, is you can call them out on their bullshit,
mm-hmm.
because that happens a lot. You know, a lot of people will think, oh, he's a manager, he's not going to really understand this. And so I can just be like, oh yeah, you know, here's our stress analysis. It looks all great. And I'm like, no, I don't know what stress analysis class you've been taking, but that looks like shit. Your factor of safety is 0.8. Come on.
And this is not going to get us where we want to go. Oh, you mean I have to do it again? You know what people hate the most about coaching and mentorship and stuff is when, and engineers are like this, they want the answer. And so do I. For a long time, I just wanted the answer. It's like, hey, the goal is to get the answer, do the thing, make the money, go home.
Yep.
Give me the freaking answer. Like, I was adamant. And all the coaches and everything are like, they would ask questions. I'm like, I asked you a question. You're going to ask me a question?
Absolutely.
you know, so they'll guide you to your own answer to make you put the effort in to get it done. Right. That's, it's infuriating sometimes, but I just wanted to throw that in because it's like, don't think you're going to be like, go get the answer and then move on. It's like, sometimes you got to be able to receive the mentorship and really start asking good questions. So a good mentor will ask good questions of you.
Yeah.
To seek out good, you know, the great answers.
Yeah.
And so the great answers will get you where you want to go.
And you can't ask good questions without being somewhat in tune with the technical expertise.
That's right. That's right. So stack those skills, man.
Stack them. Stack them now. Awesome. Well, I think that wraps up our topic for today. Before we sign off, we do have a newsletter that comes out every week, which reinforces the why, the how, and we give you some actions to take involving some of the highest impact activities that you could be doing to boost your career and your confidence in it. You can sign up for that by heading over to impactfulengineer.com. And if you want us to answer a question about any of the topics we cover, or you are facing a unique challenge and could use some guidance, please reach out to us on LinkedIn directly at Jake Maxey or Stephen Maxey, or send us an email at questions@impactfulengineer.com. Have a great day, guys.